Jesus, whose kindness endures forever, bless us today in our endeavors. We pray and rejoice your name. Amen.
L'chaim.
L'chaim. Thank you. New York Times best-selling author Scott Sigler.
Hello, how are you?
That just rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, it does.
Congrats again.
Yeah, I've been practicing that phrase since I was three, so I'm well rehearsed. It took a little while to get there.
This is really what you wanted to do since you were a kid?
Yep.
Wow.
Ever since I saw King Kong with my dad in the theater, I think it was 76 or something like that, and cried like a little girl wanting to leave because I was afraid because the giant girl was pounding on the fortress. And then my dad laughed at me because we had paid money to get in, so we weren't going anywhere. As soon as we walked out, I was like, Daddy, when can we go see that again? And like, that was it right then and there. I wanted to tell stories that would scare people in a fun way. So yeah, since I was like six, I think.
Well, wow. Good and congrats. Let me say, first off, welcome everybody to Keith and the Girl. Patrice could not be with us today, so if you made a bet on that, you lost this time. So I hope nobody lost their house or anything. I said last week, normally bet on it.
But just understand that black people don't like snow. And use that next time you're betting.
You think it's because they stand out too much or it has to do with water?
I think generally they get scared of weather and the ocean.
Okay.
Which sort of can come together sometimes and then forget it. You'll never see one.
I just got this vibe. Like, yeah. She's not coming today. It makes no sense. Then we checked the email and I was right. But we got Scott instead. So what's going on with Britney Spears, Scott?
I don't know. I liked her better with the shaved head. I thought that was more rock. I think she should shave that sucker, no mohawk, and get some distorted guitars in there and, you know, have at it. Have a good time.
Scott has a new book coming out, Ancestor, that we'll talk about in a second. I do also want to mention people listening to us right now on the Keith and the Girl application. Scott has an iPhone app as well.
Yep.
Our buddy Doug did it.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to iTunes, you type in Scott Sigler, and you'll see it right there.
See it right there, or go to scottsigler.com/app, and you can download it right from there as well.
There you go.
Yeah, we the same person doing our app.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So our buddy Doug, his website, check out his stuff, is getitdownonpaper.com, and he does amazing stuff, and I was listening to your app the other day. You have all the audio stuff that Scott does, what's coming up next, and it's very cool.
It's a great app. He did a really good job on it, and people are really digging it. Phone vibrates, and there you go.
We almost weren't going to have you in. I was just going to interview the app. That's very detailed. By the way, let me say this. I just learned... neither here nor there. Snoop Dogg was on One Life to Live the other day.
There is not.
I'm not surprised anymore by this. There's
not something he wouldn't do.
There's not a bigger sellout in this world than Snoop Dogg.
Come on, Snoop Dogg on One Life to Live? That's like the greatest thing ever.
No,
that's...
I think the only time that we mean sellout in a good way is when we talk about Snoop Dogg. Because you know what? Hip-hop is still accepting you, and so is the rest of the world, the commercial world. I think he owns a pot store right now in California because it's legal. Yeah. So he basically is everybody's hero because he gets to do whatever the hell anyone ever wanted to do in their life.
Yep.
I bet he wrote a book.
He's probably sold a lot more copies than mine has to boot.
We'll
see what he thinks when I put out my fucking rap album. How about that? See how that goes.
Stick to your own business, right?
See, it doesn't work in reverse. It's amazing.
It doesn't.
He's the only one. Yeah. Sure. Soap opera.
Oh, I've got to go. That's got to be up on YouTube somewhere. I have to see that. That's going to be amazing.
It goes like this. I didn't even watch it, but I bet it's like this. You're... What it do, baby boo?
Oh my God, what are you doing here? Is what it is, sugar. All right.
I'm going to go over there and do that thing, yeah. Yeah, you're going to do that. Yeah, baby boo.
He's on the Food Network. He's judging next week. Did you hear that?
You want me to cry now, right?
He's on, what's that one you like?
All of them.
That's the one he's on.
What, he's on, it can't be Chopped. No, Iron Chef.
It's all got flavor, baby.
And then suddenly you see Flavor Flav.
you put a little humdinger in this.
If Snoop Dogg and Flavor Flav were judges and Mike Tyson in there to boot, I'd watch that. That'd be a hell of an Iron Chef with Iron Mike. That'd be great.
Somebody's really getting hurt.
Yeah.
Sicker the greater! Rice! I like rice, baby boo. I want to mention this. People downloaded our show yesterday and it only came up for 10 minutes long. And some people thought that was really the length. I say we go 10 minutes. Saves us a lot of time. But no, of course not. If that ever happens, delete your old file. Just re-download it. But it shouldn't happen again. But it happens here and again. In fact, it happened not too long ago. And somebody wrote me and they said, I was listening to this episode. I got 40 minutes of it. And I found out the show was supposed to be an hour. and they're saying the episode's great. I laughed so hard. I was driving. I almost crashed. I was laughing. Anyway, my question is it worth it to download the rest of the show?
Is it wrong that we get a little bit offended? We have to convince ourselves to not be offended by that. We just made you crack up for 40 minutes. Is the last 20 minutes worth downloading? Right. Not worth rebuying?
Our statistical analysis of the humor factor indicates the last 20 minutes would probably be very pleasing to you. I think, yes, you should go ahead with that. Absolutely.
They thought they have to go to my house and I'm performing it live. I don't know what they were thinking. But, I don't know what to tell you.
Because, I'm going to have to, start to iTunes, press a button, fast forward to 40 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you guys put in an hour plus to create the thing. It's going to take them 10 seconds to get that.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. No, because the original just comes in. So asking,
I do understand, it can be a pain in the ass, and there's nothing we can do about that. But at the same time, you do want to ask, what are you doing for the next literal 10 seconds? I just want to know.
Because at this point, you can download us while you're on the toilet.
Right.
Okay? We're on your iPhone. We're on your phones. We're not just on the iPhone. You can download it a whole shit ton of different ways on the shitter.
Well, as a way of saying thanks for your emailing the service provider, getting them on top of it, and for your patience, we put a new deal at the Keith and the Girl store, keithandthegirl.com/store, of course. Now till Sunday, get this. Any order over $10, you get a free party, super party, beer, soda, cozy, whatever you're into. I prefer beer. Just type in the word cozy where you can write in the notes. Any order over $20, you get to cozy and a free CD or DVD of your choice, excluding Voodoo Lulu, because we have no control over that. But free CD, DVD of your choice.
So just mention that you heard it on the show and what you want.
And then be sure, of course, ask for free stickers, buttons, temporary tattoos, bumper stickers, all that kind of stuff, and we'll send it for free in your order. All right, so sorry for the hassle and thanks a lot. Hello, Keith and Hemda. Luis writes, my name is Luis Velasco. I'm 25, male, married, sober from Compton, California. I gave 25 years worth of shit for this email. This guy means it. The main reason I wanted to send this email was to thank you guys because these past 2 years have been pretty hectic. My wife and I were both laid off in September, October of 2008. Then after being laid off, my employer allowed me an extra month of insurance in that month. And in that month, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. Was operated a few weeks later, following weeks of chemo all during Christmas time. But thankfully, I recovered great. Then in April 2009, my wife and I started working again. My mentality through the entire thing was someone always has it harder or things could always be worse. I don't know. He might have it the worst. Apart from my family and friends, your shows were there to keep my mind off of other things. My brother turned me onto your show when I was diagnosed. But during the chemo, the sleepless nights, the days of just being in bed, Keith and the girl was there for me. It was something strange sitting in a room of other people getting all chemo and at times me laughing at your show. I wouldn't think you're crazy. Or I'd want your drug.
Yeah, obviously you're the one smoking weed in the chemo room.
How many times did you press your button? Sure enough, I get the look. During one of my sessions, I recommend your show to a fellow patient. Then following weeks, sure enough, he had headphones in and we were both smiling at Keith and the girl.
Aww.
Mainly, I want to thank you for giving us such a wonderful show. I've pretty much caught up on all the episodes. It makes my workday go by that much faster. I enjoy listening to your show. Also, it's not much, but I just pre-ordered 2 copies of your new book, What Do We Do Now, to show support. Plan on donating. The last show, I did not get the last 10 minutes of. Is it worth it? Thank you so much.
See that? If you have a friend who's just been diagnosed with cancer, AIDS, we can do it for you. So you don't have to buy flowers or anything. Just download Keith and the Girl into their iPod.
And they appreciate it more. And they think you tried harder. Meanwhile, you're just being cheap.
And it was that last 10 minutes that actually cures cancer.
Right.
Maybe you should download it, sir. I'm not entirely certain.
Keith, I have a Keith and the Girl question. Maybe you can help. Who writes the guest bios on the past guest page? KeithandtheGirl.com/guest. See everybody that's been on there. See what shows they've been on. Scott, of course, will be there now.
So if you have a guest that that you like, you want to see all the history of their shows, you just click on their name. It tells you exactly which shows they were on. And then when you click on those, it shows you the pictures associated with those shows, the comments that people made, and everything basically around about that show.
I assumed it was Sexy Potato, but I asked her on chat, and she said it wasn't. I do that! I just thought the person should get some credit. Thank you.
Good, nice.
Because that is consistently some of the funniest shit on the website. I was delighted when I saw there were new blurbs for recent new guests, such as Big Baby LaBelle and certified nut bar John F. O'Donnell. And for the record, the best bio ever was former intern Mike's, which I will paraphrase. Intern Mike, former pickup artist, current Keith and the Girl intern, and future non-virgin.
Aww.
Bits. I think that's nice.
Well, at least he has a future.
Right. So let me mention this. You go to scottsigler.com and you find out everything he's doing, these new books coming up and all that. And I saw on there, and I don't remember when, this is a while ago, but you ordered from him and he signs the books and all that, because I'll see on his Twitter, like, you know, I'm on hour number 8 of book signing, and he really gets into it and he cares. And people ask me, you know, your new book coming out, your relationship book, will you sign it? And of course not. That's mm-hmm. that's silly. But what we will do is you buy it from the store and then you can sign it and feel free to put my name on it and you can write whatever you want. Like, here's something Scott won't write for you. You can write it. I don't care.
Yeah, just say Keith signed it.
Yeah, make me say whatever you want.
That's good.
Hey,
that's
thanks
good.
For really writing this book for me, Keith. Whatever you want. Show your friends. I don't care. Use it to get laid. It doesn't bother me. Just so you know. I remember talking to Scott, I think it was the first time we talked to him, and we were talking about him doing a book tour or a radio tour. He did both, but a radio tour he was talking about. And remember, like, you were sick, you're throwing up throughout this radio thing? We're going to have to do one of those, and we were talking to somebody yesterday about it. Is it, how do you like these radio tours?
The radio, I don't know.
It makes him sick, obviously.
Oh, right, right.
I don't know if we'll be doing one
like,
this
it didn't
time.
Make you sick. You were really sick.
Really, yeah. I threw up on the air on two separate shows. One of them was This Week in Science, which is a podcast, and another was an actual on-the-air radio show, right. And then they hung up on me because I threw up on them. They were like, and I kept trying to talk. They're like, so, tell us about this book. Well, it... And they're like, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. And I can't. And then finally the guy was like, you know what? We're done with this. And he just hung up on me.
I'd give you an extra 10 minutes easy.
I thought it was good entertainment myself. Listen to the author make an ass of himself and vomit on the air. What could be better than this? Like, the publisher was not happy. They're like, no, I don't care if you're sick. Get your ass back on the air. So
wow. Did you make it through the whole thing?
I was 9 for 11. So I thought that was pretty good. Two of them I couldn't finish because I was just that sick. But yeah, we got through the whole thing. We don't know if we'll do it again because it's kind of an archaic thing. That was the only way you could get in front of people back in the day was do a radio tour. Right. And now I can get in front of more people on this podcast and my own podcast easy. So, you know.
Isn't that funny? But people still have, I mean, podcasting is so much more popular than we both first started, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's still, you know, I choose when to say podcast to people. Mm-hmm. I say, I'm a co-host of a talk show, of mm-hmm. a comedy talk show. And then they can ask whatever questions. Oh, how do I find you? Where do I go?
Right.
But if you start with podcast, sometimes they're like, oh, podcast. And they
and if you're like, how do we know who to ask? It's, if you have glasses, we don't explain.
I don't use it that much either anymore. Mostly now it's I do free online audiobooks, and then they'll ask about that, and we'll say, well, we deliver them via this RSS podcast mechanism thing.
I would never say RSS.
Honestly, I watch for the 1,000-yard stare of someone who's been looking at a programming screen for a long time. I'm like, he knows what RSS is.
Yeah,
right there.
I don't know what it is. I know it comes to your computer automatically. I want you to subscribe. It's completely free. That's all I know. They're like, well, why don't you do your... You had this trouble with your last show. Do your own feed. Like,
yeah.
What are you even talking about? Did you just meet me? Do my own feed. Okay.
Well, now with iTunes, it's just... You don't have to explain anything anymore.
Right.
Like, do you have iTunes? Yes. Click here. Done.
Right, so, right. Yeah.
Well, do I... Will I be excited about these radio interviews? Should I be nervous about anything? Any advice?
No. You're gonna have a ball with them. The only thing that can get weird is... They may introduce you by something strange, like when I was doing the Contagious radio tour interview. It's got some biotech in it, and it's got sort of some terrorist subplots, I guess you'd say. I got introduced on a couple of ultra-conservative radio shows as, this is Scott Sigler. He's been studying America's weakness in bio-warfare for the last 8 years, and he's an international expert. And I'm just on the other end like going, what are you talking about?
Do you go with it?
Oh, you got to. You got to roll with it. You can't. I'm like IMing friends going like, I need you to do some Wikipedia research right fucking now.
Wow.
And I'm trying, and you can't, it's the host. You know, you can't make the host look like an idiot. It's right. Not his or her fault. She got bad information. I'm not going to kill their show, right? So I'm like, yes, well, I have some knowledge. This is a fiction book, but I do have some knowledge on the subject. And then literally instant messaging questions of people and having them answer them for me and then giving responses. It was crazy. Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to have our interns in the room just in case, you know?
It's a good idea.
Let me...
Talking to a child-rearing expert. Okay. You wipe front to back.
Yeah, Keith Malley's got several PhDs in the subject and has been on Oprah 4 or 5 times. Keith, what do you think about the state of relationships in Northern California these days?
Yeah, you know,
they'll get regional with you.
Right. You just do your best, you know. Kinda.
You go, it is what it is, baby boo, and then you just roll up.
All right, what should be fun? We'll see. We'll say we're gonna do it anyway.
I do expect us to give each other a blank look. See, we've been because we're always the couple. We're always together. We're you know, not only a couple but also a team here. We always have to be on the phone together during interviews or even, you know, phone business meetings or whatever it is. And we'll just IM each other like, the fuck is this person talking about? And then, you know, we used to sit next to each other, just write each other notes and play tic-tac-toe and things like that while on the phone. So this, I assume we're just going to at some point shrug to each other and then just go, yep, the book is called What Do We Do Now?
We'll tell our one dumb joke over and over. Yeah.
I can actually give some advice. Is these things go by so friggin' fast, especially you guys used to do an hour show. Your interview, some of them will be 30 to 45 seconds. Like, I mean, it's like boom, boom, and you'll be waiting to give your information on the book, and they'll never ask those questions. So this is what people have told me to do, and I'm not very good at it. The first thing you do is answer the question you wish they had asked you. You go, that's an interesting question, though. I just would like to point out the book is in stores, blah, 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 whatever you guys, if you guys want to get to your dumb story, get that out of the way right away, because the next thing you know, interview's over, you're done, and you never get to go back ever again. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, either way, yeah, who cares? You're not going to be back, you know, do what you want to do.
Right, because they don't ask the host. The host probably don't report how well or whatever it is. We are going to post...
they're not listening anyway. They're looking for the whoopee cushion.
Right, you know? Right, that's true.
Say whatever you want.
But we are going to post on keithandthegirl.com/events. We're going to post our whole radio tour. So if you're in the state that or in the vicinity where you can get the airwaves, or a lot of places have online where you can listen to their radio online, we're going to post all that information so you can follow our tour along and listen in live.
All right. There's people are asking us now. The book that I think we mainly want to talk about is Ancestor now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But people are asking about The Starter.
Yeah.
And do you know when it's coming out in hardcover soon? They understand. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
And when will it be available as a podcast? And I also want to ask you, giving out your books in audio for free doesn't hurt your book sales?
No, it helps them. It's moved me. I'm kind of punching above my weight class for where my career should be right now, because I give stuff away. People can listen to it. If they like it enough to want to go buy it, that's great. If they like it and don't want to buy it, they're ready to listen to the next one or maybe buy the next one. But a lot of times what happens, people will listen to it and like it, go tell other people about this audiobook or this cool thing, and they'll be like, yeah, I don't care about your podcast or whatever. Where can I just go buy the book? So it's the word of mouth spreading helps amazingly. But The Starter will go on sale April 1st.
Okay.
And that will be at scottsigler.com at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. And what we do, since it's a limited edition and it's numbered and signed, it's first come, first serve. The first people who get in order, you get the lower number, and we just go up from there. And the podcast starts August 15th, also at scottsigler.com. And then September 15th, we actually ship the book out to people.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And that's the second book in the series. The first one was The Rookie. And
which just came out last year in hardcover.
It came out last year. We're going to put out one. There's 7 books in the series total. We're going to put out one every September. We try and have the books, since it's football-related book, we have it come out during football preseason when everybody is crazy optimistic and thinks their team's actually going to win this year. Being a Detroit Lions fan, preseason is my favorite time of the year. Yes.
Can people finish reading a book in a year?
I think so. Huh. Yeah. Okay. Some of my fans have read 2.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got smart fans. That sounds crazy to me.
People are going to dig. They're going to dig this one, though, because the Rookie got the team set up and the main character set up and established the universe and the league structure. And now I think people who've read The Rookie, which you can find out more at scottsigler.com/The Rookie, people who've read that or listened to it, once the second season starts, they're just going to eat it up. It's going to be great.
You're doing what do I see you twittering? What audiobook are you doing they did a little movie for?
That's Ancestor, the one that's coming out June 22nd. And my business partner, A. Kovacs, and I scheduled a whole shoot with Aaron Proctor, who's a filmmaker in LA.
Looks like a big deal.
Well, that's just the trailer. It's going to probably be 2 or 3 minutes long.
Isn't that funny though? You gotta show somebody a movie to buy a book.
Kinda. Well, you know, it is what it is. There's a ton of competition. Like people who were selling books 30 years ago, they didn't have to compete with multiplexes or cable or the internet or video games, which are now the biggest entertainment industry in the world. So you could just put out a book and sell it. But now you got to go to bat. If you want people to buy your stuff, you've got to step up to the plate and entertain them. So we think the trailer, we're hoping we actually have the monster in the trailer, which would just be killer. We've got a CGI monster. We got to see if we can put it in. But that's the thing with YouTube is if you can put that thing out on YouTube, it sits there forever. And kids email the link to each other. People say, this is cool, and send it. Like, the Infected trailer has been seen like 120,000 times now. And the publisher keeps saying, we don't understand why your book keeps selling several hundred copies a week. It's strange to us. I'm like, it's because I've got, you know, thousands of views every month over on YouTube. Why won't you guys come and pay for these trailers? These are the things that actually work. So, but they won't. So pay for it on our own.
We were surprised. I mean, we knew that we were going to, they said, our publishing company said, you know, it would be smart to do a commercial for your book. Most authors stand in front of a camera and say, this is my book, here's what it's about. You know, because really, I mean, as an author, you're not a commercial maker. You know, you're not, you don't necessarily have somebody who edits. You're an author. You write books. You write. That's all you do. But now, Keith and I produced a commercial thanks to, you know, friends that we've made and we're friends with a rainbow type of, you know, but it's a lot to do. We had to make our own audio commercial, video commercial. We're pushing the book ourselves. We don't just sit around. I think what used to happen is you sign to a company and that company takes it and goes. And we're so scared to just not do whatever it is that we can do.
It is funny the way you say it, though. Here's what I think used to happen. You had a job and you did your job. Can you imagine?
Well, that's something I've gone through a lot over the past 3 years. And, you know, it's the bottom line is this book is the most important thing in the world to you guys right now. Yes. And you're willing to move heaven and earth to sell it.
Yes.
It's one of 30 that your publicist is handling right now. And she comes to work in the morning and goes home at night. And it's just part of the job. And no matter how excited they get about it, it's still part of their job. It's never going to be as important to them as it is to you.
Right. And we're not belittling what they're doing. They really are excited.
I don't know. Scott just got me mad at her.
They really do seem excited. They have a great sense of humor, which is really good because our book is full of like, how do I get my man to lick my twat 3 times a week, you know? And our editor writes us jokes back. You know, it's really cool. You kind of get like, okay, here it is, but... you know, we wrote the word cock a little bit in it. And, you know.
It is strange. Well, you know what this reminds me of? Yesterday's show that people were having trouble downloading. They rate our service provider to say, hey, there's problems and it's on your end. The show happened to be called Rape! Exclamation point. Hey, I'm having trouble with this rape. Like, all right.
Did you guys, I haven't seen the video commercial yet. Does it talk about things like that? Like how to get your man to lick your twat 3 times a week? Those little snippets on YouTube, if they're like 30, 45 seconds long and then just ended with the book, that would be killer.
The YouTube ones are, you know, they're on YouTube, but these commercial ones are really just you're seeing some kind of argument.
Okay.
And then, you know, is this you, the book can help.
Is there naughty language involved?
Well, we were told not to have naughty language so we can put it on online stores like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, things like that. So we specifically kept that out, although our actors / friends slipped in a few. So for the official one, there's no curse words. But for one of them where I have a cameo, the couple is walking down and then the guy looks me up and down. And then, you know, she catches him and he goes, what? I know her. And she goes, you don't know shit.
Bam! And then the book.
Yeah.
So. I saw Brother Love in one of those,
that's
that right?
Yes. Brother Love and Lauren Hennessy.
Yeah, but if you guys did one that was just totally foul and just put that up on YouTube, that's like, don't tell the publisher, just let it ride. They don't know what's going on.
Sure, why not? We can do some more stuff.
Yeah, what else you got?
Scott, we have 12 commercials out on YouTube, okay?
This is great. Now I get to be that other guy. I get emails all the time. Scott, here's what you should do to promote your book. And I'm like, yes, of course. I'm writing 2 novels right now. I'm promoting novels. Thank you so much. Now I get to be the jackass and it's awesome. Thank you.
But you know what happens is as you're saying that, I'm like, damn, I should do that. Oh God, can I fit this? You know, and I start writing it down as you're talking. I'm like, the fuck! I made 12 commercials.
I'll get emails like, okay, Keith, what do you think about this for your book? I know it's important to you. I do a door-to-door tour. And you go to people's houses. I'm like, all right, that's not practical and it's invasive, but I do appreciate it. Thank you. You know what, man? If you don't want my advice, then what? Don't rate you? Then what?
Don't respond to your...
Now all I wanted to do is help, and all of a sudden I'm an asshole. Oh, well. And then I get a letter the next day. I was drunk. Why won't you write me back? And yo, you've never been drunk. Like, oh, my God. All right. I'll wait for your letter tomorrow.
Listen to this. Going back for a second, we did our show yesterday. Was called Rape. And Ethan K. And you know, as Keith was saying, it only came in at first for 10 minutes. And then you have to re-download it. So it comes for an hour. Ethan K. saying, I'm so glad Rape is now an hour long rather than 10 minutes.
Good job. Do you get into... the Kindle, those electronic readers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not just you're happy people are buying from them, but do you ever use them?
I bought a Kindle, like, right off the bat, because that's where books are, you know, that's where books are going to be bought and read. I got to know how that works.
Bought and read. Okay.
Yeah. I read like 2 books on it. Then my wife stole it. So I don't have the Kindle anymore. She takes it to the gym all the time. It's not hard
on people's eyes.
No, it's not. It's just like reading a regular book. It's pretty impressive. And then I read all my ebooks now on my iPhone. I've got the Kindle app on there. I've got Stanza on there.
You read a book on the iPhone?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll show you guys after the show. Once you get the hang of it, you're just like swiping through the pages. It's really natural. It works great. And the thing is, I've talked about this at different conventions, is, you know, you got the bulky Kindle or you got the iPad coming up and all these crazy readers, but you've got your phone with you all the time. And now your phone is... your address book, your schedule, all your contacts, your IM, your internet, now it in your music, and now it reads books too. So a lot of people read right on their phone because that's the one device they have with them anyways. Why carry that big bulky thing around too?
Well, I'm waiting for the day, and I don't, this could be crazy, but sometime in the future they're going to make books portable.
You mean like in a self-contained
something
format that
something
doesn't run out of power? So I... it's just that some people are reading ebooks, some people are reading the Kindle, some people are reading the iPad, and some people read the regular book. So, you know, as an author, you got to figure out how to get those people what they want. That's, again, something they didn't have to deal with 30 years ago. 30 years ago, there was one format. That's it. Here's your book. Done. Now you got to cater to 5 or 6 different kinds of people who want to read your shit.
It's not easy.
No, it's, but that's the people who can figure this out and be good at it and constantly remember that, you know, you're the vendor and the customer is the customer. Maybe the customer is not always right when they want you to go home invasion door to door. But most of the time, the customers, if somebody's saying, like, I want to read your stories, and you don't find a way to get them the stories in the format they want, then you fail as the business person. You can't cover everything. You know,
do you call them customers? Because we call them guests.
We call them
friends.
As per The Gap.
Right.
And Banana Republic. Next guest in line, please.
No, I frequently do. It's like, if people are going to spend their money, their hard-earned money in a book, I just, you know, part of my gig is like, I've always been square on them. Trying to become a bestseller. I'm trying to make my living writing books. I'm trying to sell a crap load of books and be the biggest thing ever. And this is what I'm trying to pull by giving you everything for free. This is the secret part of it. So yeah, they're customers, and I'm trying to sell to them just like anybody else fighting for a customer.
Right. You're very open about your behind the scenes shit. You're like, yeah, I'm giving this away. Here's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you excited enough to buy it. I'm not trying to not make money. I think it's really funny because we've had people come up to us as like, all you care about is money. Fuck, man. An hour a day for free.
Right.
Plus videos for free. Mm-hmm. Plus this whole online that we have to maintain with the website and everything. We've done a lot of shows live for free. I mean, yeah, of course we're trying to make money. Otherwise, we have to do 2 full-time jobs, one to make money and one to amuse you.
Do you worry if you're ever setting yourself up that there's going to be some kind of backlash where... I, for whatever reason, I'm not able to, I can't afford the time for whatever. Okay, you can't have these audiobooks for free anymore. Will that time ever happen? Are you worried? And if it does, people are going to hate you. Are they going to be nervous if you have your book with Three Rivers? Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously they're going to sell that, you doing the audiobook, and they go, I don't understand, everything's free. Why are you being an asshole all of a sudden?
It could get to that. It could get to that someday. So far, everything's going pretty good. Yeah. Another major player in the free podcast novel space just opted to not do it because there wasn't enough money coming in. It was too much time, and he wasn't able to create new stuff, which is really critical in the space of being able to create new shit. So for me, I can't see it happening anytime soon. I mean, I'm good for at least the next 3 years. And a big part of what I do is, you know, from square one's like, I will continue to give all my stuff away for free. If it doesn't work, fuck it. You know, I'd rather go out of business than not to do this. But, you know, 3-4 years down the road, we'll see if I'm able to move into the movie area or be doing a TV show. Those are things that the amount of time those people put in is just a whole nother level entirely. And
is
it really comes down
to
time. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'd like to have the books being turned into movies, be a creative consultant on the movie, do whatever I can to help them make the best story so that I don't get Stephen King-ized, you know. I mean, that guy's the biggest thing ever, and people still screw up his movies. So get to that point, it'd be great. Right.
You mean like himself?
No, I mean, he just...
What was that Maximum Overdrive I'm thinking?
Okay, Maximum Overdrive. Well, you know...
Somebody told me this. Like I said, we were talking about this trailer he has for the movie, and he goes, people always made my movies. And now, if you need something done, you do it yourself. And so he's saying they kept fucking... The Shining, you know, all these movies that were big hits, he's shitting all over. That movie was a piece of shit. And then people told me about this article he did years later. He goes, dude, I was high on coke. I want another chance.
That movie's friggin' crazy. Yeah.
How are you not aging so quickly with all this work that you're
doing? I don't know.
You look great.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's the shaved head. You know, keep the melon shaved. That helps the sun get into the brain.
Hey.
I'm just...
Do you have time to fuck your wife?
Some. A decent amount, yeah. Yeah, so they're, you know, they're largely three-pump quickies, but I finish, so who really cares? That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, but
I'm not going to let her have your buck. Fuck that. I mean, I got to lick Vance 3 times a week. This ain't going to happen, baby. I'm busy. I'm podcasting. I don't know. I'm cognizant of the fact that I'm living the dream I had set out for myself since I was a little kid, so whatever I got to do to keep stuff coming is fine with me. Sleep is for pussies.
There you go.
Yep. Wow, and pussies are for licking, Scott Sigler. By the
fortunately,
way,
she doesn't listen to things online very much, so she won't hear this and go, I heard you on the show. Let's step up your quota.
Do you go down? Or are you a giver?
Absolutely.
Good job.
Yes, absolutely.
You got to keep it spicy.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes you got to make them wear the deer antlers and stuff. You know, you got to jazz things up a little bit, right?
So. Oh, that's definitely in our book. Deer antlers? Old school.
We're from northern Michigan, so deer antlers, just, you know, it's just what people do there. It's a Michigan
thing. That's chapter 3. You got to keep it spicy, a.k.a. deer antlers. Chapter 4. It's more pamphlet. Some other things I want to talk to you. Did you hear... about in SeaWorld, a killer whale.
Oh my God, it's awesome.
Surprise, killed somebody.
Yeah.
Whale shows at SeaWorld were canceled Thursday, and officials were reevaluating safety procedures a day after a 12,000-pound killer whale grabbed a trainer's ponytail, dragged her underwater, and killed her in front of shocked onlookers at Shamu Stadium. What? Those are the shows I want to be at.
It's tragic that she died, but, you know, it's called a killer whale,
it's
for fuck's
so bizarre.
Sake.
It's called, you're not supposed to make what was once a proud beast jump through a hoop.
Yeah.
It's going to turn on you eventually. Don Brencho, 40, was pulled underwater for an extended period of time.
Oh, it's a guy with a ponytail.
Don, that sounds like a girl, right?
Oh, Don.
Yes.
Sorry. Speech impediment.
What'd I say? Drew?
D-O-N, I thought you said.
There's no further information yet. The incident occurred 2 p.m. Wednesday. Tompkins said the whale, named Tillicum, had just finished a session with the trainer, who was standing by the side of his pool and leaning over the whale, rubbing his head. She had a long ponytail that brushed in front of her, and being a dumb, dumb fucking animal, he didn't know what was going on, so he ate it. So he felt the ponytail probably and then grabbed her and pulled it underwater. I picture this like a court case, you know. Please take the stand, Mr. Killer Whale. Whoa, leading the jury. Hey, killer, what's up? No. A witness told CNN affiliate that the whale approached the glass side of the 35-foot deep tank in Shamu Stadium, jumped up and grabbed the trainer by her waist, so it's a different story a little bit, shaking her so violently that her shoe came off. A SeaWorld employee who asked not to be identified described the incident the same way. So people can't agree. Orange County Sheriff's Office spokesperson said the lady slipped into the tank.
I smell a cover-up.
The
whale has connections.
There's got to be people videotaping it. It's got to
be on cell phones and stuff. Yeah,
because you're watching a show, there's always little clips of things. I have video of... Keith petting a, what do you call it?
Stingray.
A stingray. Because these things are fantastic.
Yeah, they're cool. Maybe Telecom's brother works for the DA office.
You know what? Something's going on. I'll tell you why. This killer whale was involved in two other deaths before that.
No. For real?
Yeah. He and two... You put dogs to sleep if they bite you. He and two other whales were involved in the drowning of a trainer in a Victoria, British Columbia marine park in 91. The trainer fell into the whale tank. Yeah, right. At the Sealand Marine Park, Victoria, and was dragged underwater as park visitors watched. In 99, Tillicum was blamed for the death of a 27-year-old man whose body was found floating in a tank at SeaWorld, the apparent victim of a whale's horseplay. The Orange County Sheriff's Office, the same county sheriff's office, said the man apparently hid in the park until after it closed, then climbed into the tank. I think Scott's right. I think the Orange County Sheriff's Office and the whale is in this together.
We actually have a serial killer whale. So that's fascinating. That's right. There's no horseplay at the pool. No, the thing.
I hope now. Murder number three. You put it back in the ocean or you put it to bed.
Wouldn't you want to put it to bed?
So you kill it.
You don't want it in our ocean.
No, but I bet it, at this point, with
why?
all that humans it's eaten, it'd be very tasty at this point.
That's what I'm saying.
You could have a barbecue, a fundraiser.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you kill us, now we kill you, you bastard. And then you cook them up and you eat them in burgers and stuff. It'd be awesome.
Keith is there.
I do think you should be at SeaWorld and you watch these dolphins flipping around and then you get yourself a dolphin kebab. I don't think it's crazy.
They do look tasty. I'm not going to lie to you guys. It looks like there would be some good steaks on those suckers.
If you watch, what is it? Live on a Big Boat, the Keith and the Girl video. It's available at the store and you see we go swimming with the dolphins. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to keep up when you're swimming with them, to be honest. They're very fast. But anyway, Henda was a mess. That's all I can say about
that.
We
paid $120 to have them kiss me, you know? And that $120 per person, okay? And I'm just going, no, get off me! They're videotaping me. And then they go, you want another try? Yeah, I paid $120. And then I get another try. I'm like, no! And the trainer is going, she's going to keep coming at you because she was trained to kiss you and then leave. So you see the dolphin continuing to try to kiss me. And I'm like, no!
It's one thing to make them jump through a hoopah to turn them into hooas. That's a whole different thing. Entirely.
You're turning him into whores. I'm swimming around by the blowhole. You know, something's going on. The dolphin's following Kendall on the bus back to the boat. The whole thing was very strange. But I got my money's worth. I'm making out with this dolphin.
He's so gross. It's like completely contrasting. He's Shooter McGavining at them, winking at them. Come kiss me, baby.
I'm getting into it. I had a point bringing this up, though. That wasn't that. I totally forget. Yeah, but it's on there. You can see the dolphins. But it is crazy. You know, who am I that you put me right up to a dolphin? Like, don't touch the underside of the fin.
Yeah.
What if I do? You know, like, why would you let me? I'm an idiot that wants to swim with these.
Yeah, and then they place us in the little pool, and then they have the dolphins just come swim around us.
Oh, no way.
And they're like, you can pet it now. And I go, okay, I'll just wait until this part is over. Yuck.
I'm good. $120 for a life vest is just fine. I don't need to do anything.
You know, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't like animals. I don't pet your dog when I walk into the house. Right. I don't think your cat is cute. I just don't. I'll say, okay, whatever. But then I don't really want to touch it, but I decide to pay $120 to pet one? Ridiculous.
That's abuse, man. If these dolphins end up killing somebody, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, for tuna. That's what I'm doing for tuna. Here's a little fish.
Those things take out sharks. They can kill you at any friggin' time they want to. Dolphins are actually badasses of the ocean. They're pretty tough.
I'm glad you weren't there when I was trying to have it kiss me.
I'm like, do you know they kill one ton great whites?
I know. Get it away from me.
They swim up to them and keep poking their beaks at them, and that's how they approach the death strike.
That's why I like kissing the dolphin. Like, it's like, oh, I shouldn't be kissing this. This is deadly. You know? Like a chick you shouldn't be into. You're like, oh, this is going
to
end up with
you. You frightened me a little. Do you want me to drop my pants?
And then later he was like, tell me you're the dolphin. Tell me you're the dolphin.
I got to show you the back of this DVD. I think it's great.
All right.
The DVD is called Live on a Big Boat. We did a 4-day cruise. And then we did a live show at the end of it. But we did poker in between. And we had a whole bunch of events on the cruise with a bunch of Keith and the Girl people. And yeah, the DVD alone, you could see the back and the front on our store, keithandthegirl.com/store. And you can get it free right now at our store.
That's right.
With the offer happening until Sunday. It was so cool. So we had the live show. It was the only, what is it, non-unilateral, what's the word?
Sure.
Anyway,
non-linear?
Non-linear. Yeah. So you have the show, and then as we're talking about our events, it cuts to the events and everything. It's done really well by Keith McNally at keithcourage.com.
Cool.
Are you into the Olympics?
Little bit. I didn't think I was going to pay any attention to them at all, but they've kind of surprised me. I'm like, we beat Canada? Fuck yeah, I'm into the Olympics and hockey. And I watched some of the speed skating, and I'm not a big fan. I'm a big fan of like football, basketball, baseball, stuff where what you do directly impacts another person. The mode of transportation sports are not that, I'm not that big on. You drive a car, you skate around a rink, you know, because you can, if you don't, nobody else needs to be there and you can break your own time. That's not really what I'm into. But yeah, I got sucked into all that crap, that Ono dude winning all those medals. And so I've been surprised. I've been into it, not a lot, but into it a decent amount.
People got upset at me because I'm saying America's winning everything. We're the best. And they gotta explain to me, well, back in 1981, they weren't so. It's like, you know, can I enjoy this? I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to brag. You put everything behind your country, and USA is the best. Again, it's something else. That's so horrible to say. Yeah. We rule the world. That's so offensive to other countries. I'll never understand how. I know we're in mass going to your country. Or maybe you're all trying to come over here. Maybe.
A lot of people are leaving America to go someplace else right now. But it's been sweet. It's been Canadians are pissed off, dude, about the hockey thing.
They should be.
They're pissed.
You start seeing real Canadian. It's not all a boot. First of all, they talk normal, I learned. It's all an act.
Well, I've enjoyed that, you know, because Canadians, by and large, are just like the nicest friggin' people on the planet, unless your hockey team shows up, and then they boo the piss out of you. You're like, you're just like us, aren't you? You're just like us. I love it. Why don't you boo the American hockey team? These athletes who showed up to entertain you, boo them. That's great.
They wish that they so don't want America to do good. They're rooting for teams that we'll play against.
Yeah.
Like you're our neighbor. You're supposed to be on our side.
Yeah. We're like connected and stuff.
But hockey is their biggest.
But it's not them. They're just shitting on us. They don't want us to do good.
We took away their pride.
Oh, then maybe you shouldn't have joined our American teams, you know, during regular life.
I don't get that. I don't get the Canadians booing the American hockey team when they're playing Sweden.
Exactly.
That I don't
get.
They're
rooting for Sweden.
If you want to boo the American team when it's Canada versus America, have at it.
Sure.
We're having a curling event. That's the one I've been watching. Is crazy. God. To throw the stone down the ice and sweep. I have no.
Broom it!
I have no idea what's going on. All I know is that I'm just watching how excited these people are. I'm like, God damn, that's a clean patch of ice. Go! Sweep it! Mop it! And I don't know what's happening. I just get excited. It's like darts, but flat on ice. I don't know what's happening.
The center must be worth more points. That's all I know. And I go, I wonder how they did. And they go, yay. And I go, all right, then yay.
I just watch a score. America 5, Canada 2. All right. You ever try and watch cricket?
No.
Oh, that's no. I don't know. Not only do I not know what's happening, there's no one yelling and screaming. It's not very exciting. But the curling, well, I have no idea what's going on. There's just all of the sweeping and the mopping and the yelling. It's awesome.
Well, when we first started talking about it, you can be pregnant. That's not an Olympic sport. You can be pregnant and have a beer.
That'd be great. You can hold it like this and be like, right. Let that slide. Yeah, that's it. So I'm into it a little bit.
What are you going to be when you grow up? A pusher.
No, they have to be everything.
Yeah, nowadays you got to be a broomer and a pusher.
They got to rotate.
Yeah.
I love my best. I was watching the other night and watching the ladies curling. They're talking strategy, and they're like looking. I'm like, it's a stone. Throw another stone into it, knock it out of the way, and they're like, yeah, I think we should come from this side, yeah, and they're like so focused.
They really
like,
do. They pull out slide focused. Rules. They're getting into it.
They're so into it. I got sucked into the intensity of the people throwing the stones on the ice. I still don't know what happened, but it was fun.
You want to call them, like, you knock that one out and then put one in the middle.
You want to be at the thing. Just knock the stone out! Come on! Broom it!
How ridiculous. We also said this too. I can't believe. Did you know this? I looked it up and it's actually true. When you win a gold medal in curling, it's made out of the same gold as you get in hockey if you win.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be a different kind of gold. And I said this, if you have a curler wins a gold and meets a hockey player that wins a gold, mm-hmm. who do you think's more impressed by who? You know what I mean? Oh, you think Amy's going, I can't wait to congratulate the curling team. I just finished, you know, the deluge where people die somehow.
See, that's what the Jamaicans got to get into. The Jamaican bobsled thing, that was crazy. But they could work one patch of ice and practice curling all day. Go get high, practice curling, go get high, practice curling. They should be competing at this stuff.
Right, instead of sliding down the mountain.
Yeah, instead of a sport where you can die by having your head scraped off on rough ice. That's not right. I don't like that at all.
Well, I don't know if you heard this. A Dutch bobsledder quit the Olympics.
Because of the condition of the track?
He was scared by it. Dutch bobsledder Edwin van Kalker was with his coach, Tom de la Hunte, on Tuesday going over the track. And the coach wanted to see if he are you willing to do this? He wasn't asking him to win. He was asking him whether he would compete. The coach and his pilot walked the course, and de la Hunte, the coach, told van Kalker to think about it, giving him an hour to make a decision. So I guess the guy said, I'm getting nervous by this track. Time offered no healing. Van Kalker told his coach he just couldn't drive this track. And so on Wednesday, the four-man number one sled from the Netherlands pulled out of the Olympics. Oh, because the driver was terrified.
But does that make sense? Because shouldn't there be...
I guess it's more and more dangerous. I guess normally these are made by hand, and nowadays computers are making these bobsleds, and a computer can't think about all the dangers, I guess.
Well,
and
don't they have to have... there's got to be rules. Like, the track has to be so deep or so long or...
I think the weather's been a big factor, too. They haven't been able to keep proper icy conditions in the thing
or something.
And it's
too fast?
It's not just too fast. I think...
Put
when
a speed
when
bump.
You're going at those speeds and you hit any patch of soft or irregular ice, that's what I think killed the other dude. Yeah, so I mean, these things are going, they're flying. So I'm not surprised somebody pulled out. We already had one guy die on the track in warm-ups.
Right. I've never seen someone get to a major event and not compete because they're scared, said the coach in a news conference. How about you quit selling out your guy? Yeah, it's a little dangerous. We all know it. We hear things going on, and he doesn't want to do it. Yeah, I can't imagine. I drove all the way here.
Yeah, being scared to compete, it's not like you're trying to defend Kobe Bryant and you're afraid of that. You're afraid of dying by having your helmet ripped off your head at 80 miles an hour. It's a little bit different.
Coach is saying you keep your inner fears to yourself and you do it. You get in there, you do it, and you go, see? That's why it's such a popular sport in the military. In the Dutch military, this is what they do? I'm not really scared of the military. No offense, Dutch.
Well, do you have the story on the German speed skater?
No.
This is crazy. They the Italian... I don't know what event it was. I'm not a speed skating expert, but one of the Italians drop out, so they start calling alternates. They're like, hey, do you want to compete in the Olympics? You're an alternate. We got a spot open. This is like in the actual Olympics. They called through three guys, couldn't get a hold of them. They all the way down to the fourth alternate, and it's some German 19-year-old kid. His cell phone was off, and nobody could reach him. So he would have been able to compete in the actual Olympics.
Wow.
They had to go without filling that slot. I'm like, oh, dude, if I'm at the Olympics, note to self. Cell phone is on.
Because he went over his minutes and his parents punished him and said, all week, your phone's off.
I just can't imagine. You train all your life and then like your one moment comes and you get lucky and somebody scratches and like you don't have your cell phone on.
I saw one of these female downhill skiing. And as soon as she got out of the gate, you know, and you're going downhill right away. Anyway, she gets out of the gate, trips, 2 seconds, boom. Your whole dream is over 4 years minimum before you get another chance. She did the same thing I did. We both did the same thing in the Olympics. Actually, I think she did worse.
Keith at least finished the track. I mean, come on. Isn't that Lindsey Vonn girl who keeps breaking different... She's like the Jerry Lewis of speed skiing. She's always breaking something. She just broke her pinky. She fucking broke her ribs and stuff in the last one.
It's dangerous.
It's a nutty sport.
I might start watching more now. Hearing all these deaths. Tiger Woods, by the way, is in rehab for a Vicodin and Ambien. Anybody's interested. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's what made him be with these chicks.
Mm-hmm. That and their amazing fucking hotness,
oh,
too,
yeah.
Also. And, but no, I'm sorry.
And their chicks. Chris Brown, the dude that beat up Rihanna, of course, is on Tiger Woods' side. And Tiger Woods is saying, okay, shut up. Okay? I somehow got Nike to stick with me, if you could shut up. Chris Brown says, whatever his personal life is, and I think this goes for me and him.
Oh, God.
Lump me together. I'd be real happy if I was Tiger. His personal life is his personal life. Nobody has the right to place judgment or make any judgment on somebody else's personal life when they're not directly involved with them. I am allowed to have an opinion of you beating your girl.
Yeah.
And you apologize to me already. I apologize to not only my family, friends, and Rihanna. I apologize to you, who you know, who look at me, and I not necessarily look up to me, but who just look at me, and I shouldn't be hitting my girlfriend. I'm sorry. And then later, hey, you don't got no right. Well, which is it, Chris?
It's totally apples and oranges, though. I mean, Tiger Woods is out having crazy porn star sex, and Chris Brown is beating the crap out of some girl. You know, it's not even the same thing.
He plays golf. That's his sport. That's his hobby. That's his love. That's what people love him for. They don't love him for the other stuff that they talk about.
Unless you're one of those girls, then I guess you do love him for that stuff.
Right.
No, I'm pretty sure everybody doesn't love him.
Mm.
Even with me, I do music. It's him again. Even with me, I do music. I sing songs. I'm an entertainer. I'm a performer. But people make mistakes. I never did. I never beat a woman by mistake. Not by mistake.
Not by mistake. Oh, man.
There's a French ad there where they're comparing cigarettes to forced oral sex, saying, hey, this is, you might as well be getting raped if you're smoking cigarettes.
Are you sure they're not the secondhand smoke is like raping someone because they're the ones who don't want
to? No, I think they're saying, like, you don't know you're smoking cigarettes. You don't know how dangerous these are. Well, let me tell you, you're getting raped in the mouth.
It's a bit of a stretch.
I'm not buying it. Everybody our age, younger, everybody knows that cigarettes are crazy bad for you. If they do it anyway, then they know what's coming.
My dad said, you know, when he started in the Israeli army, and he's like, nobody told me this was bad. We're just smoking, you know, nobody said. And then I become addicted to it, and it's kind of too late. And he did quit, you know, I think in his mid-40s or something, or when he turned 50. Yeah. I don't know. But so he quit now, but he's like, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there was no information. I mean, if you're, like you said, our age or younger, come on, you know cigarettes are bad. I mean, maybe you don't know that you'll lose a finger like the commercials are saying now, or, you know, but you know your lungs are being killed minimum. Mm-hmm. You know that, and you know that it causes cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If you know that and you're still smoking, maybe you like being raped.
There's an interesting debate going on in Paris, this says, about these new anti-smoking ads. Here, let me show you a picture. They do a guy and a girl, you know, in separate ads, so it's not sexist. But both of them have a guy standing up with a hand on the child's head.
Looks like a benediction or something. And instead of, hey, there you go. Go on about your way. You're blessed.
Oh, okay. I see how you look at it. Yeah. I looked at it like it's a blowjob. And they have a cigarette in the mouth, and then the other end of the cigarette is like in the guy's pants. So obviously you're thinking penis.
Oh, I didn't see
penis.
That part. Yeah. Well, then that's totally different.
I mean, I didn't know where you went to church or anything. There's an interesting debate going on in Paris about the new anti-smoking ads, which liken teen cigarette addiction to forced oral sex. The images themselves are mildly scandalous, though they don't seem to match with the tagline that says, to smoke is to be a slave to tobacco. But beyond their vaguely pornographic motif, I wouldn't even say vaguely, the ads have sparked a fascinating, complex discussion about sexual abuse. According to the New York Times, one commenter said the anti-smoking site and the campaign trivializes sexual abuse. Worse, it implies guilt on the part of the abused.
It does that, and it also trivializes how bad cigarettes are for you, because kids are going to look at that and go, well, I'm not being raped. I don't know what you're talking about. It's so above and beyond. It's so having nothing to do with what cigarette actually does that they just go, oh, you know, you're treating kids like they're a little too dumb.
And when you hear something like this and you go, okay, well, obviously it's not oral sex, is it? Like, if you saw me dead, would you rather see me dead smoking or blowing the neighbor? Okay, it's not the same. And if you're going to tell me it's the same, I'm not even going to listen to there's tobacco in it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you smoke weed, you're going to jump off buildings, think you can fly. Really? Well, now I don't even think it's addictive. Now I don't believe any of this stuff. Because you're going to be so ridiculous. The analogy falls apart if you take it past the initial impression of you're taking it from the man. In the end, all the debate over mixed metaphors is probably secondary to the fact that the ads are simply not effective. The anti-smoking chief in France says this will shock adults while not scaring kids. Yeah, kids won't care.
Right, right, exactly.
Right, and not teach adults, just shock them and be like, oh, okay. All right, that's a little much. And let me mention this also. We're going to be, what do you call it? Presenting awards at a comedy function, the ECNY Awards, sponsored by Comedy Central, among others.
And it's going to be at Comix in New York City. It's COMIX. It's a great place. We were just talking about the place yesterday. You get to vote for the people. So the voting is still open. If you go to ECNYAwards.com, some of the names on there are guests of our show. So, you know, it'll help support them. And we'll be presenting the award at the annual awards ceremony. So if you want to see us do that, you can actually go to Comics if you're in New York or the New York area. It comes out the day before our book comes out. The event happens the day before our book comes out, and we are presenting for the best book of last year. So that's kind of fun. March 8th at Comics. Go to ecnyawards.com.
You're voting for best female of the year, best male, best sketch comedy, best improv, all that, and best book is one. And so I'm just going to come out and read my book, I think.
Yeah.
That's the way to go. Captive audience, just take charge.
That's what they're trying to get to.
You're going to be like, I'm going to force oral book reading on you. Kneel! Sweep!
So let me say this again. Scott has a lot of books, and he mentioned a lot, but get everything in order at scottsigler.com. Mm-hmm. The new book that's very exciting coming out, of course, Ancestor.
Mm-hmm.
What's the date for that one more time?
June 22nd. But you can pre-order now, scottsigler.com/ancestor, and everybody should be on the lookout for our very, very bloody book trailer, which will be up probably in about a month or so at that same site, scottsigler.com/ancestor.
Very cool. Are you proud of the trailer? You like what they did?
We haven't seen it yet. The shoot was just awesome. Like, I was joking. I'm like, I want to direct my own movie. Screw this. I'm going to be the director. I know exactly what needs to be done. It's going to be awesome. And then we actually did the trailer shoot, and I'm watching like 18 people run around to shoot 2 minutes worth of video. I'm like, I ain't getting fucking near this shit. I'll write the book. Some other motherfucker can come shoot the... It was way more complicated than I thought. I mean, they shot an hour's worth of video, which took us, was it a 14-hour day? 15-hour day. And they got 1 hour's worth of video, which they're going to condense down into 2 minutes. I don't know anything about how to make those, but what we've seen so far, they did a great job at like actually reading the book and finding characters, actors that look like the characters in the book. And that was, as an author, that was super exciting. I was like, oh my God, that looks like her. So we're going to have some stills
creepy,
up.
Right?
It was a little creepy. Like there were five characters in it, and all five of them. Like four of them, like we could cast that person today. Like if we were doing a movie, that could be the guy right now. And then there was one who was pretty close, but still did a really good job. So it was cool.
That says something about how you wrote and described your characters.
I guess so.
Definitely.
Yes, I'll pat myself on the back
there
for
you
that.
Go.
But we had a full on makeup guy who was like putting scars on people, and there was blood all over the snow, which was the best part because we did it. What was the name of that place?
Rim Nordic.
In California. So we're out there. This is a family cross-country ski place. You see moms and dads and little kids skiing. And we're out there just literally hurling buckets of blood onto the snow. So there's these giant, like there's White Hill with pristine snow, and now it's all trampled with blood all over the place.
Do you think this is what happened to the Dutch bobsled team? They started going down the track. They didn't know there was a photo shoot the day before.
It could be like, there's a lot of blood here. I don't want to ski in this. So the shoot was just awesome. We'll see how it turns out. This is out of my skill set. I don't know anything about it. So at this point, Aaron Proctor is going to go through and put it together. I'm hoping it'll be awesome because it's really important to sell books.
Yeah.
It's really important to sell books these days, being able to do this. And, if you can get 12, 13, 14-year-old readers who see stuff like this go, oh my God, that's awesome, and then forward it to 40 or 50 friends, that's the kind of thing that can really help kick off the book. So we'll see.
My one regret about our video commercials, not enough blood.
Not enough buckets of... You need buckets of blood on white snow with the sun coming down. Yeah, that would sell more books, I'm pretty sure. What's that? It's a relationship book.
That's what
What? Come on. You've never seen blood in your relationship?
It's the O.J. Simpson
chapter.
We
just talked about Chris Brown, O.J. Simpson. Come on.
You should add a joke chapter in there. How to slap your man and or woman around and not go to jail.
I got to think if there's something like that. There's something like that. I mean, not that. Let me be clear. Well, Scott's been a big supporter of ours. In fact, he introduced to our agent why we have this book in the first place. So I want to say thank you, and it's an honor to have you in here. So make sure you support him, scottsigler.com, and pick up his books. Everybody's loving them. I'm getting emails. I don't know why they're not being sent to you, but I'm getting emails that they like your stuff.
I got to tell you, I'm big on the Twitter. I love the Twitter. So anybody who adds me, I add them back. And I only unfollow people if they're like multi-level marketers or whatever.
Right.
But everybody I add, I ask them one at a time. I'm like, awesome, thank you for adding me. Where did you hear about me? And I've been getting a lot lately. I heard you on Keith and the Girl.
Okay.
So it's been a very recurrent theme. So it's pretty awesome. And I was just talking to the agent yesterday, and man, and I was talking to the publisher yesterday too. I was in for the publisher meeting.
We have the same agent publisher.
Same agent, same publisher, and man, are they're all friggin' excited about your guys' book. Like your name came up in the marketing meeting, like, oh my gosh, did you see what it's ranked on? I mean, they were just crazy for it. So I'm really excited to see what happens with your book. I think it's gonna be great.
Us too. Please, if you can buy two or three, buy two or three. Never stop at one.
You know, and since I'm not actually selling my own book here, I'll make a pitch to your audience. They're not very expensive. The people listening to the show probably listen 2-3 times a week, if not every day. You're getting gobs of free content. And at this point, I would say at this point in Keith and the girl's career, one of the single best things you can do is buy 2, 3, even 4 copies. Just consider that your price of admission for the year, you know, and just pass them out to people. The bigger the book hits in the opening week, the more success it means for them down the road. It opens up a lot of different doors. So go crazy.
Thanks.
Yeah. The book is called What Do We Do Now? You could read a free chapter on keithandthegirl.com/book. You can also see the commercial that we're talking about, and it leads you to the rest of the commercials, the audio commercial. Mm-hmm. What more do you want?
I'm hoping it takes off and turns into a shitty movie that I'll never want to see. It's Drew Barrymore. And so there you go. ScottSigler.com. Check it out. And thank you very much, buddy.
Thank you.
It's good seeing you. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. keithandthegirl.com.